Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, getting you ready for your 4th of July celebration. We hope you have a wonderful Independence Day wherever you are listening out there. Hopefully you enjoy it, but you're all safe as you enjoy it as well. We go to the hotline right now to a man who's going to enjoy this 4th of July holiday by spending it on the beach in Southern California, and we're all envious of him for that, the one and only Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Oh, amazing, man. How are you doing? I think better off than you guys are in Cleveland, right? I got LeBron in my city now, too. That's me trolling. I apologize.
You're allowed. But, you've earned that right.
Well, that's the worst thing about this, man. It's like having a girlfriend break up with you and then having her everywhere. Because I'm going to see billboards of LeBron in Lakers jerseys. I'm going to see LeBron everywhere in the city. So I'm a little hurting, man. I don't know how much I like about having LeBron in my city right now.
That's going to be weird for you. No question about that. The good news is you've got about 3 months to get ready for it. So you have that going for you, which is nice. All right. Well, let's get into some Hollywood talk, my friend. Hey, I've got a DC TV question for you. And I got into this. My fiance and I started watching this about 2 months ago. This Flash series is awfully intriguing. Lots of good storylines. It's had a pretty successful run so far. They're about to begin season 5 in the not too distant future. How long do you think this series can last?
I don't know. I think it's on the CW, right? So I think they have a pretty good track record of, like, they get their niche audience and they keep shows going. And I think that whole DC universe that CW's created has been really successful for them. And it's kind of the exact opposite of the Netflix Marvel universe, where the shows really aren't that good. People talk about them, but, like, I don't know, people kind of giving up. You know, Jessica Jones is, if I remember, the only one really worth watching. And so what DC's done here with The Flash, and I'm going to forget all the other ones, but there's quite a few CW shows, CW DC shows that are doing well. And I think it's going to continue. And as long as it does, I see no reason why The Flash won't keep going. Especially, it'll be interesting to see how that happens when the Flash movie starts coming out, and if they do anything ties with that, or if it's just like completely two separate universes, and we'll see. But I think they do a much better job of handling their shows. Whereas the Flash, Arrow was one I was missing. Legends of Tomorrow, which is the grouping, which is, from what I heard, much better than the Defender show of Netflix. I think it's one of those things that, because there's not really a lot of pressure at CW, all they have to really do is good ratings, not like mind-blowing. I think it'll continue, and I don't know for how long, but we'll see. It doesn't seem like anything's slowing down. They keep coming up with these shows, so I think it'll continue for the foreseeable future.
Safe to say that for all the big screen success that Marvel has had, they don't necessarily have that in the TV or the streaming series like DC has had. And if you agree with that, why do you think that might be? Because DC seems to do pretty well with the television or streaming series.
I don't know. They kind of had it with Daredevil was all right the first season. Jessica Jones, the first season, was really good. I heard Punisher's not bad, but I don't know. They became the same plots. They're very dark. They don't really have a sense of humor, which I think is the difference of the DC universe. And I don't know, because it's Netflix, I think they're trying for something a little grittier. Like, I don't really understand what these Marvel shows on Netflix are doing. I also think they don't have enough content for 10, 12 episodes. Like, it's crazy. Like, they just seem to be spinning their wheels in the second half of most of these series. And like I said, I heard Iron Fist was like almost unwatchable. So I don't really know what the issue is and what DC is doing, because I have not watched any of the DC shows, so it's hard for me to really understand what they're doing right that Marvel is not. But watching the Marvel shows, they seem like joyless and spinning their wheels. And I don't know, they've got to figure something out, or they don't, because people keep watching them anyways. So we'll see what happens. I think Luke Cage season 2 just came out to middling reviews, which isn't shocking. And we'll see what they decide to do in the future.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I've got to ask you about this Showtime show called Billions. A lot of people are talking about it, and they bill this as one of the best shows on television. I've never seen it. I've only heard the social media buzz about it. Well, what's this all about, and why is it that people love this show, Billions, so much?
So Billions has definitely been on my list. I've not watched it yet. This is the third season. It started off getting kind of okay reviews in the first season, like, did pretty well, but kind of like, Halt and Catch Fire on AMC, the longer it's been on, the better the reviews are getting. People said the show's really starting to find its footing and becoming really good, and it fits in with that new HBO show, Succession, which I really like, that's kind of showing these bad sides of these ultra-rich people, which is kind of interesting. But the other thing Billions has going for it is they have some excellent talent with Paul Giamatti, Damian Lewis, Malin Ackerman, and this season John Malkovich joined. And it's created by the guy who, or I think directed or written, something like that, by the guy who did Rounders, which I think is a very underrated movie. Really enjoy that movie. And basically the best part of Rounders was John Malkovich's Russian character, which I'm being told he plays the exact same character in Billions. So it just seems like it's a little more soap opery than Succession, the way it's shot, the way it's kind of done. But I've heard great things, and it's definitely been on my list. And it's just, when you have that much acting talent, it's really hard to skirt up. And I think, from what I heard, the script is great, too. So it's just it's one of those things that if it wasn't on Showtime, I think people would be speaking about a lot more. For some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe we can owe The Sopranos and Game of Thrones this and the other big-time HBO shows. But when a show comes out on HBO, it becomes an event, whether even just the pilot. Like, I think The Leftovers pilot did really well, even though people left the show after that. But it is an event. When with Showtime, Showtime hasn't had that success yet. They've had some good shows, but nothing that becomes like a huge event that you're talking about at the water cooler the next day, like a Westworld, like a Game of Thrones. So, I don't know. I think the reason it's not as big as it possibly should be from what I'm hearing is because it's a Showtime show. And, you know, and we'll see what they can do to, like, really push this show up. But three seasons in, I think it's going to kind of keep this, like, niche audience that it has right now.
Well, let's take a look now at the box office and transition to the big screen. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, close to $1 billion worldwide. They had another huge weekend. Looking forward to this weekend, do you think that Ant-Man and Wasp have any chance of knocking it off the mountain?
Yeah, it's got a pretty good chance. Jurassic World's been out for, 3 weeks now? I think it's time. I think there's not really a lot of other competition. Sicario and both Uncle Drew did okay this week. I don't see any of them doing, like, huge numbers this week. So, yeah, I think Ant-Man and Wasp will take over. I don't think it'll have a huge weekend. I think somewhere in between, like, 50 and 60 million, which is a far cry from what we've seen with The Incredibles, with The Avengers, with even Jurassic World. So I don't think it's going to do crazy numbers, but I think it'll do all right. It'll do a little better than break even for Marvel, but I don't see it, like, destroying.
And I think that's fascinating just because, you know, it's a Marvel movie, and obviously Paul Rudd being what he is, there's obviously a nice little comic tie in there as well. Yeah. I'm just fascinated to see how it follows up last weekend, because last weekend was a monster week at the box office, or weekend rather, at the box office, not just for Jurassic World, but overall they did some pretty strong numbers. Speaking of, one of the reasons why the box office did as well as it did was because of the success of Uncle Drew. I saw that they had budgeted that for about $20 million, and it made almost all of it back in its opening weekend. Were you surprised at all that Uncle Drew did as well as it did?
Well, I'm surprised that the reviews are over 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it was 65. Then I'm more intrigued by it than the actual box office numbers. No, it's, and we've seen, I don't want to get too into the race thing, but we've seen, like, with Tyler Perry movies, they do big box office. They did that. They did pretty well in the box office. And there's not a lot of comedies and stuff really aimed towards the African-American community. So when they do, they usually do well. And so I wasn't surprised that they did the numbers. I actually thought it would do slightly better than it did. I thought it would hit like the 20 million mark, which it got like just below that. But I am surprised by the good reviews it's getting, and it's kind of making me intrigued to watch it. I think I would have been a little more excited to see if Kyrie was still Cav, but, you know, I can put those allegiances aside. It's not even the concept and all that that I was skeptical on, because I love a good basketball movie, even if it's bad. But, like, I can't see Chris Webber or Reggie Miller being any good at acting. Like, maybe Kyrie, and we know Shaq can do a little acting, but I don't know about Webber, Miller, and whoever else is in it, but I don't know. I'm kind of weirdly intrigued by it. So I'm not surprised by the numbers it did, but I am surprised about the good ratings.
I was a little shocked to see the critics took to it the way they did as well. I'm with you on that. And if nothing else, I'm not sure if I'm going to go and watch this at the theater, but when it comes out on a Netflix or an Amazon or something like that, I might give it a try there. But it's interesting. I'll just say that.
I think the smart thing they did, too, was was that they paired these basketball players with, like, really strong comedic talent. And Lil Rel Howery, who was in Get Out, Tiffany Haddish, who's become a big phenomenon since Girls Trip, J.B. Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Nick Kroll, who's been in everything. The four of them are, like, really, really strong comedic actors and very funny. So I think it was a smart idea of, hey, we're going to put these basketball players who really aren't great actors, and let's pair them with just comedians and make it a good time. And so I think they did a smart job with this movie.
Well, speaking of the overall health of the box office as well, box office numbers reportedly up 15% this summer from last summer. That's according to the USA Today. Do you think that's a result of better movies, or do you think there's a different reason at play here?
I don't think it's better movies. I don't think I haven't seen anything this year that I would say is like an amazing movie. I think there's some good popcorn theater. It's not like last year when we had Get Out come out. I thought Logan was really, really good. Like, we had movies like that that kind of broke expectations. Like, Get Out broke expectations for a horror movie. Logan broke expectations for a superhero movie. We don't have any of that this year. What we have is big, huge spectacles that are able to get people in the theater. And I think that's what they saw, you know. Hey, you know, this isn't the theaters are going down. What can we bring? How can we bring more people to the theater? Well, let's make huge, huge movies. The only one that I think really kind of stands out as far as we're talking blockbusters was Black Panther. But, like, you have Avengers Infinity War. Let's just make Avengers bigger. Incredibles 2. Same kind of thing, even though I thought that was a good movie. Deadpool 2, let's make it bigger. Jurassic World, let's make it bigger. And it's kind of that what we've seen. It's just really, really big movies that are bringing people into the theater. So, no, I don't think it's better movies. I just think they're bigger movies.
All right, my man. Well, we will finish up with this. Last week, you gave us a couple of really good ones. What are your picks to click for this week?
There's one I'm really intrigued about, even though it's getting critically panned. A movie called Legacy of White-Tailed Deer Hunter, Friday on Netflix. Jody Hill is on Observe and Report.
Oh, is that what?
Fist Way.
Brolin and McBride?
Brolin, McBride, Carrie Coon, who's great. I'm missing the other person who's in it. I think it's, Scoot McNairy, who's great. It's getting pretty critically panned, but I'm kind of interested. It's got such a good cast. I might check it out. But the real big one, we talked earlier about HBO being, you know, must-see TV. And we have another big one coming out this week, Sunday, Sharp Objects, getting fantastic reviews. It's directed by Jean-Marc Vallée, who did Big Little Lies for HBO last year, Dallas Buyers Club, starring Amy Adams, who's, you know, I can talk for 15 minutes about how good Amy Adams is. I think she's one of the most underrated actresses we have now. And it's based on a book by Gillian Flynn, who wrote the book based on Gone Girl. So it's that kind of vibe to it. It's called Sharp Objects, comes out Sunday. It's supposed to be really good. The book was supposed to be great. It's an 8-episode miniseries, I think. And so I've been excited for this for a while. I'm excited to see it come out this Sunday. Like I said, with Amy Adams, Jean-Marc Vallée, Gillian Flynn being on HBO, I think it has the possibility to do the same kind of to generate the same kind of buzz that Big Little Lies did, which I thought was great. So I think it's kind of in that same wheelhouse, and I think it's going to do, again, be something that we talk about for the next few weeks.
The White-Tailed Deer one I'm really excited about. I was reading about that last week, Danny McBride, also with Josh Brolin, and they say, you know, this has been the summer of Josh Brolin with all the big characters he's played and the huge roles he's had, but this is more of a comedic one and not necessarily one that's going to win him any awards, but I'm really excited about that one. I can't wait to check that one out this weekend. Al, a pleasure as always, my good man. You enjoy the beaches down in Southern California, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds great, man.
All right, that's our Hollywood insider, Al Harris, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return right after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.